You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise.
And good morning and welcome. This is Wednesday Live, coming to you from WCNO. From our beautiful studio here in Palm City, Florida, and the palm trees are waving their arms, thanking the Lord this morning, and
Hallelujah.
So
yes,
amen.
They are.
It's a beautiful day. I want to welcome Karen, who is part of our team.
Good morning.
Yeah,
I am here.
You are here.
You are
delighted.
You are here, and we're thankful that you're here. David is also here.
Yes, very excited to be here.
Very important parts of the operation here at WCNO. David, you have two live programs that you host. Great programs.
Oh, they're different, but, you know, they're
different.
You serve
powerful.
The Lord in a very particular way.
Sometimes controversial with things that involve the enemy.
Yeah, the enemy doesn't like to hear
the truth. Does not like to hear it.
No, no.
And, of course, Karen has a Friday live program every week as well.
Yes, I do. Hidden places.
Hidden places?
Yes.
Bring in guests?
Yeah, occasionally we have guests. Yeah, we did a few weeks ago. Penny Cook and Del Bates were with us.
And you snuck out of town to develop your skills in podcasting a little more and came back. And we're going to have more of that coming here, right? One day?
Yes, yes. We hope to get soon. A podcast going.
One day?
On WCNO, yeah.
One day the cameras will be in the studio, and so when Jerome Ryan comes in, he's going to be on. He's going to be live streamed with us, and so welcome, Jerome. Great to have you in studio this morning.
But Pastor Jonathan, it is indeed a great pleasure to be here with you and your team.
Well, thank you very much, and we have a great event that's coming up tomorrow night. We're going to talk about that some. Mm. But first of all, Jerome, want to just take a moment. Anytime you're here, like to talk about what God's doing in your life. And so you are longtime part of our family, the body of Christ here in this region, up and down the coast. A lot of people know you. You've been involved in a lot of ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm the founder of the Love Center, which was started back in May 5th, 1995, and had the privilege of being mentored by the godfather of recovery ministry, Mickey Evans. And Duncan mentored me for 18 years. And of course, during the time I got the vision, I just joined Dunklin and was in the greatest situation to be mentored by Mickey and hands-on relationship and built the Love Center. And October this past year is 30 years we've been in operation.
Praise God.
With the oldest homeless-related shelter in St. Lucie County. So we did drug recovery, prison reentry, and homelessness for right about 24 years, and then we did education K through sixth grade for 6 years, and then last year, early on, we reopened as a affordable housing for the working class homeless.
This is amazing. This is amazing. It's affordable housing for the working class homeless.
That consists of individuals, single man, single woman, who is working every day and are sleeping in their cars or on a friend's couch.
Wait a minute, somebody's saying, wait a minute. Not here in a couple of the most wealthy counties in the state, maybe in the nation.
Believe it or not, you can Google TC Palm, go into September or October news. St. Lucie County is leading the country per capita in homeless housing. St. Lucie County.
Homeless housing.
Yes, the homelessness.
Homelessness.
We have, we're number one in the country per capita.
St. Lucie County?
St. Lucie County. When I read the article, I overlooked the article because I was, I thought.
I want to read that article.
I thought.
Where is it again?
You it's in TC Palm.
Okay.
And it's somewhere around September, October article. And it talks about homelessness. And when I read it, I immediately embraced the idea that we're probably leading in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Something said, read the article again. I did. It says in the country, not in the county.
Wow.
Not amongst the local counties. We're number one in the country.
Mm. So.
And homelessness has many faces because I spent 6 months last year sitting with every, I personally had meetings set up with every county commissioner and every city commissioner of Fort Pierce to educate them about homelessness. I'm the oldest in the city. So I knew going in that they are not knowledgeable of what many faces homelessness have, because typically speaking, homelessness is a guy who I go into the gym quite often, and when I pull into the parking lot 7 o'clock in the morning, I see someone sleeping in the parking lot.
Right.
Well, that guy has a membership at the gym. For $15 a month, Planet Fitness, he got a guaranteed place to shower every day. Mm. So how they see homelessness doesn't mean you're ignorant. Homeless means that you now turn and start utilizing your survival skills, because you know we were taught as kids at Boy Scout how to build a tent,
right.
How to survive out in the fields. And then we become adults and now having to reflect back on those skills. So homelessness simply means that people learn how to make the best of a bad situation. So you got homelessness that are sleeping in cars. You got homeless people that are going from friend to friend, sleeping in their garage on their couches. And you got foster care. You got substance abuse. So you have over 13 classifications of homelessness. So it's not just one thing. So you can see it and not see it.
Well, and if we look at the other side of it, so we have homeless. Now what you're talking about, homeless but working a job. Somebody that shows up for work, they're working every day, Monday, at least, you know, on some kind of regular job. What kind of jobs are these people working?
Some are working at Amazon. My first resident worked for Amazon.
Okay.
Home FedEx, Publix, Home Depot. See, understand, we talked 15 years ago about the big movement of Amazon, FedEx, Cheney Brothers moving to the area, right?
Right.
And we thought
that was going to solve the...
Right. So we'll have $20, $22 jobs. But here we are in 2026, and you can barely survive on $22 an hour.
It's still the same.
Right. So a person who is making $22 an hour cannot afford $1,400 a month rent, because we didn't predict that the rents would be $1,400. At that time, rents was $800-$900.
Right.
Here we are 2026, and the rents are $1,400 for a one-bedroom apartment. So you do the math. You got apartment costs. You got utilities. You got electric, water, sewer, phone, insurance. Forget about car payment and gas, you know. And so the numbers doesn't work. And so we don't have a mathematical problem as much as we have. We have not a social problem, but we definitely have a mathematical problem.
Okay.
The cost of living is growing in such disproportion to what people actually make. So let's look at affordable housing from two perspectives. You and I partner up and we go build three duplexes, one bedroom apartments.
Okay.
So we have land costs, we have development costs, and we have mortgage costs. So if we rent the unit out for our costs, it still supersedes what the guy who's working $22 an hour can afford. So you have affordability on two ends. It's what can Jonathan and Jerome actually build and rent at a break even? And what can the guy actually pay who is out there trying to survive? So first, last, security, and a good credit check is the same payment of a down payment of a house.
Mm-hmm.
What's unique about what we're doing? We bring a single man, single woman in, and they just pay by the week. There's no first, last security and credit check. We remove all of that from the equation, and we assist them for 12 months to save money, and we have a partnership with Mustard Seed Ministries. They provide financial literacy course, 6 weeks of training paid for by United Way. They get paid $60 per class to attend a financial literacy class.
Wow, so this is a hand up.
Yes, sir. So yeah. we partnered with Graceway Village, who supply meals. And so we're trying to hit a straight lick with a crooked stick with the little that we have to work with. But, right. we're making a difference. And then so we're trying to assist these individuals in getting connected to employment agencies so they can find work if they happen to be in between work. But most of the people who walk through our doors do have present game employment.
And the people that are coming through the doors, many of them, education. Talk about education.
The bachelor's degrees, they're regular people that has a certain level of diplomacy. Some have been working their jobs for a long period of time. And then you got people that are out here homeless that have misappropriated their funds, too, that have mismanaged their dollars.
Sure.
Because, you really, when you're living on a tight budget, there's no room for splurging. And when you splurge, the price, cost, the expenses you have do not go away. And so some people are attending these financial literacy classes because they need to obtain the necessary discipline in order to be successful. Not they don't have enough money. So you have a lot of people that are out here that are struggling in a financial that are working every day that are unable to find a place because they've burned their credit up. They don't have good credibility. They have not done good management. And so there are many variables. But for the most part, things are way, way offline in terms of what people can afford and then what a developer can build it and rent it for. I understand both ends. Mm-hmm. I'm a landlord. Been a landlord for 45 years. So I understand real estate. I understand cost of living. And you're in it for one reason primarily, and that is to make a profit. But
right.
I've looked at it from even trying to, for instance, the Love Center, we own that facility. We don't have the overhead that the average person would have. Who have a facility of that size. So I don't have it's a $2 plus million facility. I don't have a $2 plus million budget, a cost
right.
of operation. Therefore, I can rent it out cheaper than anybody else could rent it, but you can't go buy my facility and rent it out for $200 a week.
Right.
Can't do it. The math doesn't work. So we have been blessed to have owned that property for 30 years. We don't have the major overhead, so we pass the savings on to the few people that we're able to help with the housing.
So how can people get involved that basically say, I'd love to do more than just fill a spot sitting in a church? I'm a part of the body of Christ. I function as a part of the body of Christ. I'd like to help. Is there any?
Well, they could come. I can give you my phone number right now. It's 772-460-2445.
Give it again.
772-460-2445.
Okay.
That is the Love Center.
Yep.
And you can go online to discipleship.com.
Okay.
And they can call or they can visit us right there on the corner of 13th Street and Avenue I, Fort Pierce is 907 North 13th Street, Fort Pierce.
Awesome. So you can get involved. You can make a difference. I know it takes money to do these things. And obviously, even if you own everything as a ministry, you still have a ton of expenses with insurance and overhead and maintenance
staff.
And staff. And it ends up being a big thing. So please open your heart up today as you listen to what Jerome's sharing with us and understand that if you have children in school, your children may have a teacher that's living in their car.
Yes, sir.
That happens. It happens in Martin County. I believe it's happening in St. Lucie County as well. And they're not going to walk around with a sign saying I'm homeless. But some of these families, two, three kids,
yes,
along with a parent, single parents living in the car, and those kids are in school.
I had a friend of mine call me about 6 months ago, and he says, I need you to meet me down in front of the library in Fort Pierce on the waterfront. I get there around 7 o'clock. There's a mother with four kids.
Mm.
She's got a job. She's got four kids under 12 living in that SUV. I looked around. There was 10 or 12 other families living in those cars right there in Fort Pierce on the waterfront.
Wow.
In front of the library.
Wow.
And to be frankly honest, you can go there any day of the week, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and you can see everything I just stated.
Mm. So these are not families that are alcoholics. These are I mean, there are some that would be the case, but what you're saying is we have a large growing populace that simply cannot connect the dots.
Yes, sir.
And we desperately need a solution for that. Wow, yes, sir. that is important. How can pastors get involved?
Well, I think that there's a number of conversations on the table right now where they are looking for ministries to come closer up front and to maybe allow these people to park in their parking lots that are safe.
Okay.
And allow them to shower on those properties.
Mm.
And I think it's a good investment for the church to create shower stalls to accommodate, because I built the Love Center 30 years ago because I identified the need. And we have to look for unique needs to meet. You know, the church is relevant. It just has to change how it positions itself to meet need. One of the greatest needs right now in St. Lucie County is homelessness.
It's a big deal.
Yes,
sir. It's a big deal. The church has an opportunity.
Right, to make an impact. And those parking lots are great opportunities to be able to facilitate and put your arms around people. You're already paying for the parking lot or is already paid for.
Yeah.
You got lights in the parking lot. Allow those people to live at least shelter there. You being a part of the solution.
Yeah.
You know, we've code regulated ourselves into what we're in because there's, you know, every time there's a storm, we get hit with harder and harder code regulations. And being in a background in construction, I understand from the time the storms hit in the 80s to now, they've had seven or eight different code upgrades. Therefore, there's additional work that has to be done to secure, to protect a property during wind damage, and those costs get passed on to the end user.
It's true. That's
and
true.
Now you're talking about putting roofs on every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That means that every apartment is going to go up about 10 to 15% up in cost because the home owner or the developer who owns that property has to prepare for replacing that roof every 10 years, and that's just been implemented over the past 3 years. So you think about putting on a $40,000-$30,000 roof every 10 years. That $30,000 is spread out on top of a regular rental. That's about $300 a month.
Yeah,
additional costs.
Which is a lot of money, and it's a challenge, and a lot of people are not able to even cover, even if you just talk insurance and you talk taxes and insurance. I know my son just went into the Navy, and he was like, Dad, I want to get married. I want to have a family. There isn't any way that I've been able to find a job, smart kid, that I can find a job where I can rent a place, I can establish a family in this county where I live.
The way you're closing the gap on the issues that we've covered so far is self-employment, entrepreneurship. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. And
you got to
that will be good
man.
For some, but it's not going to work for all.
Right, yeah. Right. But that you got to start pushing people toward entrepreneurship, though.
In order for them to be able to provide.
To bridge that gap.
Yep. And some people are cut out for that, and some people, they can do the work, but they're not managers.
Right.
And so, you've seen that yourself.
Right.
Well, tomorrow is an important day, all over our nation, really.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make a big deal out of the National Day of Prayer, not just for our nation, but for the state of Florida, for our coast, the east coast of Florida. And there's a tremendous event that's going to be happening. I know there's events up and down the coast.
Yes. You
know, there's a lot of different things. I would just throw out before we get to the Mid-Florida Event Center, Pastor Daryl Orman has had a lunchtime gathering in Stewart for a number of years. I'm not sure how many years I've been going for. Seems like forever. But that will be at the gazebo downtown Stewart, 12 o'clock. That takes place tomorrow, lunchtime. But we specifically want to address the National Day of Prayer event that is going to take place at the Mid-Florida Event Center. So, Jerome, what's coming up? You are a part of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Thank you for being a partner with us, and
thank you.
I'm blessed to serve with you.
And same here.
Thank you.
Well, I think tomorrow is very credible. You know, when I think about corporate prayer, praying together, many things are established. You know, praying together as a community has a unique importance that goes beyond individual prayer. It shapes both spiritual life of a group and it also the relationship within the group. I started out with the coalition. Jim Way, back in 1993, I just given my life to the Lord in 1992. I met Jim, and we met at St. Paul AME Church every Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. And there, sitting every morning, praying with the elders, city fathers, it transformed my life. And the Love Center vision was birthed out of that prayer group.
Wow.
You know, that's the power that's of awesome. Prayer, you know. And so I'm a witness, and you were around during those days, and you understood it. And so I think Jim Mother was a member. No, Sam Chess Church.
Sam, yes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So it builds unity. When people gather with a shared focus, it aligns hearts and priorities. Different in backgrounds, opinions, and personalities tends to fade away and disappear when we're seeking purpose together. That kind of unity can strengthen the community in ways that discussions can't, you know.
Very true.
Yes. And so what we're doing tomorrow night is bringing the community together, and it's bigger than what happens tomorrow night. It just becomes, tomorrow night becomes more of a support system for the culture that we're trying to develop. And it's like the resurrection. It's not an event. It's an experience.
There you go.
Tomorrow night is not an event. It's promoting an experience because there's the power in one, but one put 2,000 to flight, two would put 10,000 to flight. And yeah. I think that much of what we're dealing with across this country comes back to prayer. So corporate prayer also helps communities discern direction. When people groups pray together about discussions, challenges, and needs, and slow things down, and it invites reflections rather than impulsive actions. That's what happened with me. I'm sitting there amongst that group. Jim Way kept bringing up the issue of a homeless shelter that they were trying to get someone to birth, and they would support it. But that was not my vision. When I finally, after 4 years, 3 years of praying with that group, out of all the needs that were there at that time, that's the need that God led me to pursue. And through that coalition, I met Mickey Evans, and it was history from that point. So major things can be birthed out of those, out of these prayer groups,
Amen.
You know, and it really brings community together.
So there's obviously the personal family importance of that. There's the regional, there's the state, there's the national. But a lot of these, what you're hitting on, I'm really glad you're saying that, Jerome, speaking to the point that community needs.
Yes.
Are God's touching hearts, he's gifted people, but sometimes those gifts have to be unwrapped.
Right.
And we need each other to make a lot of these things happen. And so this is not an event to come and watch or listen to other people pray. This is an event we're calling you to come and participate, be a prayer partner with other leaders, your neighbors, and join us as we know that God's going to hear us in our nation.
Amen. I was riding the other day. I got a phone call from a friend. She says, on the corner of a certain street in Fort Pierce, she says, there's homelessness that is extremely visible and people walking up asking people for money at the red light. So I knew the area very well. But the other morning when I woke up Monday morning, God spoke to me. He says, seek my face for direction on how the community, you and the community, can make a difference on that block. See, you could run the homeless off, or you can come with solution. I am solution. So I call that person back. I said to them, instead of us talking about the problem, I want you to join me with prayer, and we're going to ask God to give us a solution.
I like it.
What can we do to make a difference on that corner? Because running them off is a short-term move. It's movement that looks like you're being successful, but are you really being successful? You're just displacing the issue.
Right.
You're not resolving the issue.
It's good.
And so I believe that we have the answer. I don't, but God does. And,
Amen.
And we're connected to God. So I said, we're going to pray over that because there's something unique God wants to do. And if we seek his face, he will give us the plan. I said, I took the worstest location in St. Lucie County and probably on the Treasure Coast, Baker's Bar. Mm. Over 100 homicides and stabbings took place on that property. And God, we went through that, David Thompson and I. We would pray with the coalition group on Tuesday mornings. Wednesday mornings, we would meet in a bar. We pushed back all the beer cans and beer bottles. It still smelt like a brewery.
Yep.
And we went in there every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock and prayed. We prayed that ministry into existence. You know,
and it's working today.
Right. So I think that prayer, we show up where there's something that manifests that looks to be a problem, and we're the solution.
Amen.
We are the solution.
Amen. So, you know, sometimes when we pray and we're aware of needs, I know that God works this way, where someone will see a need and they will speak the need. And as you're saying, and God is actually saying, I'm touching your heart. You know, when Jesus saw the crowd, something happened inside of him. The word tells us he was moved with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So compassion needs to find action.
Yes.
And God has a plan to make that happen.
Yes. Mike Murdoch said something years ago, about 25 years ago. I was over in Europe, and he was on the radio, and I sat there and listened to him. He said something, man, that just was so profound. He says, when you're looking for vision, he says, you don't have to look far. He said, find the one thing that keeps you up all night, that frustrates you the most. He says, that's the problem you've been called to solve.
Mm.
Ooh, I like that.
And man, when he said that, it's just like it just stood out, because I had just stepped into that with the Love Center, like a couple years. I'm
right.
in with the Love Center. And it was so profound. He says, you don't have to look far. He says, when you're looking past God, you can't see it. He says, but ask God to allow you to see it through his eyes and just find out what frustrates you the most.
There you go.
He says, go fix it.
There you go. Tomorrow night, Mid-Florida Event Center. Jerome, you're going to be there.
Yes, sir.
And the audience will be made up of families. This is a family event. Bring your babies, bring your children, bring your whole family, grandpas, sons, daughters. Bring your whole family. This is a family event. It's in the evening so that you can do that. And the doors are going to be opened, I believe, around 5:30. Intercessors can come in. Come in early. Pray. Walk the property. You can drive the neighborhood out front. But come in and begin to pray. Worship's going to be starting a little early. The event actually starts at about 6 o'clock, but 5:45 in that neighborhood, we're looking to see worship start. But there are many civic leaders that are coming together. And God is moving on the hearts of civic leaders,
Amen.
Isn't he? You're involved in some of that.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be praying. Spiritual leaders, pastors and spiritual leaders are going to be praying for civic leaders tomorrow night, opening the night up. We're going to have the sheriff of St. Lucie County is going to be there. It's going to be part of that prayer gathering to open up. But pastors, you have a place here to lead
Amen.
Your congregation.
Amen.
Lead your family. And show others that prayer is important to you. I mean, I believe as leaders, we need to lead the way and
yes.
get the word out. Get it out to people on your Facebook. Get it out through your church directory. Let your congregation know that you're a partner with this, and you're going to be praying over the leaders in the community.
Amen.
And that starts it. But then from there, we have the mountains are going to be prayed for. We're going to be praying for family, church, education, arts and entertainment, business. Of course, government's going to be lifted up in prayer.
Yes.
And there's going to be times for everyone who comes to participate in the prayer,
yes.
just
yes.
congregational prayer. But we do also have a guest who is fired up, Joaquin Molina. We just interviewed him, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be with us. He's coming from, I believe, down south, maybe Miami area, down in that area. Do you know him personally?
No, but he was here previously.
Yep.
Yes. Great speaker.
Great speaker.
Yes.
He is going
Great
to come
testimony.
With a message to challenge us and to inspire us and equip us to take another step forward with God. And we're really looking to see the spiritual climate raised in our community. And when that happens, the needs of people are going to be addressed in a greater way, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're almost out of time. We're hitting the bottom of the hour. You showed up in pink.
Don't hold it against
you,
me, brother.
You look good. You look good in pink. Hey, that's okay.
I represent the epitome of masculinity. Don't get it twisted, brother.
Amen. Amen. Jerome, you're a dear brother. I thank God for you. Please lead us in prayer for this event tomorrow as we close out this time together.
Our God, our Father, we give you thanks and praise for this time that you have brought us together to share and the work that has taken place in each of our lives individually. We're kingdom men and women operating in kingdom principles and believing you that kingdom results will flow through us, in us, and around us. So tomorrow night we lift up the event there at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center, and we pray, O God, that you will go ahead of us and prepare the environment, O God. We know that the environment that we create determines the product that you produce. So we pray, O God, in advance for what you is doing, will do in the days to come.
Amen.
So we receive your completed work concerning tomorrow night in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be a great night. I look forward to seeing you. And I'll be bringing my family, as much of my family as I can bring. And I've been talking to our congregation about this. And I just believe this is going to be a great, great event. And I will be participating with Pastor Daryl Orman. And so you may say, well, our church is already doing something. Well, praise God. Go to your event. Be a part of that and come out. Get beyond your walls. Get outside of your walls and connect with the rest of the body of Christ. And as a pastor, you may say, well, you know, what denomination is doing this? Heaven's denominations are doing it. This is not about a denomination. This is about a region of believers conscious and confident that God hears when we pray.
Amen.
What do you think, Karen?
I agree fully.
Karen's intercessor for sure. For sure.
Amen.
Dave?
Oh, man, I'm on board.
All right, we're going to go to a song. Yeah, Dave, you're going to be there. You're going to be a part.
I'm going to be a part. Yeah,
amen.
I'll be hanging out.
Jerome, thank you for coming in today. God bless you, and we'll look forward to connect soon.
Anything
in closing?
No, sir.
You're closed.
We're closed.
Okay. We'll be right back with Wednesday Life. Keep your dial set right here. Holy Spirit, rain down. That's what we're praying for and believing for. Holy Spirit, rain down. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, and I trust that you are already planning and preparing to be a part of events scattered across the coast of Florida, up and down and across, even into the middle of our state, as we're reaching into many counties today, probably into 15 different counties. You're listening today. We are glad that you're joining us. This is Wednesday Live on WCNO. Keep your dial set 89.9. In our region, on the Treasure Coast of Florida, we will be gathering with hundreds, I believe, of believers tomorrow night for the National Day of Prayer. It will be starting tomorrow evening at the Mid-Florida Event Center. Doors will be open around 5 o'clock. Intercessors can come early. Worship will begin about 5:45. And then civic leaders will be joining us. The pastors, regional ministry leaders will be praying over the civic leaders. And then following that, we will have times of prayer for everyone that is there joining together. And then about 7 o'clock, Joaquin Molina is going to be bringing a powerful National Day of Prayer message for us that will definitely stir and challenge our hearts and prepare us as God is at work in our nation. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome two new guests that have just come into the studio. Have a great event coming up. I have a flyer in my hand. It's beautiful, Passionate Pursuit. And so we are familiar with Faithful Followers Ministries, a great ministry. Maria and Nancy, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So a lot of people cannot see you, so, you know, but you're here and you have a great event that's coming up, and I want you to tell me about it. I know that you all are involved with your husbands in ministry. You're all very much involved in ministry. You've been involved with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and some of the events that take place here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. And some of those are dinners, and you've also been involved in the National Day of Prayers. We've had many guests, including Jonathan Kahn, who be in prayer. I think we're going to have Jonathan coming back. We'll tell you more about that in the future. But right now we have a conference coming up. Tell us about the conference. Who's going to be speaking up here?
Maria.
Okay. Maria's going to start out. Okay, Maria, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for having us. We're really excited. This is our 9th year as a Faithful Followers 501c3 nonprofit.
Praise God, nine years.
And it's 8 years' worth of retreats that we've been all over the state of Florida. We like to kid that we've been like the Israelites, just wandering around. But our retreat is at the Lakeside Retreat and Conference Center this year, and we're very excited.
Where is that located?
In Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, Lake Placid, Florida. Yes. Thank you for the distinction, because there is one in New York as well.
Oh, okay.
So we are going to go May 15th through the 17th. To the Lake Placid Retreat and Conference Center. We have about 40 to 50 women that are going to be in tow with us. Many of them are women like us. We work full-time, And we also do ministry full time. And so they're going to come nice and tired, and we're hoping to fill their cups.
Praise God.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So how can people find out more information, get connected, become a part?
So we do have a Facebook page that's called Faithful Followers.
Okay.
We also have a website, and the website is foundationsforall.org. They can register there. Or they can just Google Faithful Followers Women's Retreat, and it'll take them to our registration page.
So tell me about the retreat. What's going to happen? Who should come?
I think everybody should come. Go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy, pull the mic up a little closer. We're not picking you up too well. You need it right in front of your mouth. There you go.
Oops, it doesn't want to.
Every woman who needs rest and needs to be just in the spirit and the face of God should come, because it is a really wonderful place. It's got acres and acres of walkable trails and lakeside that you can just sit in the morning, have your coffee, talk to God, watch the sunrise. We watch the sunset and then at night. We have bonfires on Saturday night. And it's just a really, really place that you need to be if you just need rest in God.
So how did all of this ministry start, and what is your connection, and why do you do what you do? You work a job and you're full-time at that, and you're full-time ministry too, and that is a lot, plus your wife's.
Yes. I was hoping you would ask, because I think that's where our miracle story is, Jonathan. Nancy and I, our husbands knew each other, but Nancy and I did not. We went to the same church, a mega church in our town, and the men were really being poured into in our church, and they were going for many years to retreats. And during those times, the women, obviously we wouldn't go, but there wasn't anything really for the women. And I noticed a big transformation in my husband. He is a wonderful man of God. He's kind. He's gentle. He's all the things that the fruit of the Spirit depicts in a human being and what it tells us in the Bible. But I saw a transformation in him, a deeper commitment, deeper intimacy with the Lord, which I think some men struggle a little bit with intimacy, where it's more natural with women and the Holy Spirit. Because we're born and more geared in that capacity. I started seeing a connection for my husband, hearing from the Lord, hearing from the Holy Spirit, and his ability to pause and just listen. And so I wanted to encourage him even more. And I really loved that he was going to these retreats and being discipled at the church and then going away two or three times a year. And then in the process, somewhere along the way, my heart started to grieve, because I would anticipate my husband coming home, and I was trying to make sure that I could do everything to preserve the sanctity of the anointing that he came home with.
Mm-hmm. So he'd come home all fired up.
All fired up, but
and you'd want to keep that fire
very peaceful.
Okay.
And connected with the Holy Spirit. And I was doing everything possible to be able to maintain the peace in our home and that environment, to the point where I wanted to even take out the garbage and do everything that he needed to do for Monday. And I started grieving, because I realized other men were not receiving that. When they crossed their threshold, they were probably entering a war zone. My prayers started shifting for the women, and I asked the Lord to prepare their hearts to receive their husbands when they come back. And I felt like a grieving with the Holy Spirit, that all of these men were not going to receive what my husband was receiving. And so I started praying into that for a few years, and not knowing these kind, gentle, wonderful folks were praying for some of the same things across town when we didn't know each other.
Wow.
And so John received word from the Lord that it is time to take the women and do the retreat. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying across town. He's praying across town. And We ended up meeting through a third party, our friend Gabe Melendez. He invited us to John and Nancy's house to the first meeting, and they were seeking interest of other parishioners at our church that would want to formulate some kind of a plan to take the women. And that's how we were birthed.
Wow, that's beautiful. Mm. That's beautiful. So God was birthing that, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was being birthed in prayer. And so now, after 8 years, what kind of fruit are you seeing with the ladies, and how do they come back?
So I'd like to share. John says, you know, while we do the men's retreat and the women's retreat, because our church stopped doing them, so we picked that up along the way,
okay,
even though we were birthed to do so more for the women. But
okay,
John, I like to quote him. He says he gets more out of the women's retreat than he does the men's retreat, because he loves to see the women just at the feet of the Lord. Mm. And it is just such a holy atmosphere, is what I guess I would describe it. What about you, Nancy?
He just gets so much out of seeing the women finally get what they get, mm-hmm, or what they got when they,
right,
were doing the retreats through our church. Mm-hmm. But now that we're doing it, I mean, the women, we feel that the women are getting just as much, if not more, than the men. Mm-hmm. Because of the way they're always saying, okay, when's the next one, make sure I get the invite, you know, just make sure that I'm available to go.
I would like to also add, you know, in hindsight, I've been able to see over the years that the Lord had to do the work in our husbands first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And get them ready so that then he could do the work in us. And it's been beautiful to see our husbands flourish and be able to be strong with us, because some of the battles that we take on to be able to get these women out there and obstacles and things of that nature, we would not be able to do it alone, yeah, Nancy and I. We would not. And our husbands, they've just been honed and fine-tuned over all of those years, those prior years, to be able to not just participate but learn so that we could give.
Okay, again, how can people find out more? Give us the contact information, because today we're going to have a lot of families listening, a lot of ladies listening, men listening. And so some might say, well, I don't really know them. I don't know about this organization, but I'd like to look into it more.
Okay, so our website is foundationsforall.org. We also have a Faithful Followers Facebook page, and there's an Instagram page, Faithful Followers.
Okay, so this event, it's going to come up on May the 15th through the 17th. The 15th is what day in the week? Is this like a Friday or something?
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday. And so kind of walk me through what happens. So it's going to be over the Friday, the Saturday, and Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
So Friday we check in around 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we'll have dinner. Ladies can relax a little bit before we settle into session one, mm-hmm, which is in the evening after dinner. And then Saturday morning we start again. We're going to have a sunrise proclamations and prayers this Saturday, on that particular Saturday. And then we'll go into a couple of sessions during the day, a rather big break in the middle, because one of the things that we have learned over the many years of doing this, it's not all about the sessions. They also need the ability to go crawl into a hammock or take a nap or go for a walk and absorb and connect. So we give them a rather large break second half of the day. Then we have an evening of praise and worship, and we have a ministry that comes with us and does the music live. And then we do typically a bonfire on Saturday night. Mm. We just sit around the bonfire, somebody picking at a guitar and just worshiping the Lord. And then Sunday, we are there for a couple of hours. We close off with communion, another session of praise and worship, and then testimonies from the women. So that's what they could expect.
So after 8 years, How many come back every year? I mean, do you have repeat people?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Because they've been touched by God and they just want to keep that alive.
Yes. This year, I think we're moving into a deeper part of the women. Excuse me, because most of the women who usually come cannot come this time, but we have so many from this area.
Right.
And our area down in West Palm that are coming together to make this hopefully a bigger and more, what's the word I'm looking for? Special.
Okay.
Weekend to get to learn, meet more women, to have more contact with them, and to hopefully keep going in the future with the women who always come and these new women to bring us together as a family.
So what would you say to a lady that would say, you know, I'm in a mega church. I'm not really connected with a lot of people. I love God. I'd like to deepen my faith, but I'm not sure. I'm busy. I've got a family. I've got children. I've got a lot of things I'm responsible for. How can I break away from all of that? How does it make sense for me to do that?
I know where you're going with the question, because that's really what our society has driven us to be.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. We don't have Sunday businesses closing so that we can pour into our families. And
constant pressure. Constant pressure.
And constant noise makes it all the more reason to pull away. And we have no more margins in society. You know, there's no quiet spaces anymore, not even necessarily in our homes, unless we're very, very concerted and very focused on creating the margins and that quiet space. But sometimes you even need to get away from your family as well, so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. And I would say, if you're really craving, you haven't heard the voice of the Lord for some time, but you used to hear him before, hear his voice and seem like your relationship was more active with the Lord, I would say this is the perfect place for you, because every single woman in all of the years that we've been doing these retreats, every single woman, every single man comes back reconnected and on fire for God, and their purpose and their commissioning, if you will, is reinstituted in them. And that's one thing that we definitely see.
And if I might say, I'm sorry, if I might say also, you have to make time for yourself as a woman, because we don't take enough time for ourselves. So this is one way that, you know, to be able to get away from all the noise and all the mainstream that we deal with on a daily basis, try to make the time for yourself to make yourself better.
I love what your flyer said, and I read this earlier. There is a quiet kind of holiness that visits us only when we slow down.
Amen. Amen.
That's the margins.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's so easy to almost become addicted to the noise.
Absolutely.
And just being comfortable with that as a familiarity, as a part of our life. But there's something that happens when we just say, okay, I'm just going to step away from everything other than opening my heart for a fresh touch of God. Yeah. I just need a fresh touch of God. And all of us do.
Yeah.
All of us do. This morning I was thinking about the return, which took place in Washington sometime back, the National Day of Prayer, and sort of the call to our nation to return, our president, rededication coming up of our nation. And this goes to the church as well. I believe it's time for all of us to return in a fresh way.
Yes.
And whatever we've received, whatever we've gained, whatever you know, whatever all of that is, as good as it all is, God has more. God has more. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to encourage families, guys, if you're listening today and you and your wife, there's a few scratches between the two of you. You know, your relationship is a little stressed, and that noise does that. The stuff does it. It gets between us in our marriages, in our homes, between our children. It even challenges our ministry, challenges our value, challenges our call, challenges whether or not our life even has value. But alone in the presence of God. King David said, I looked at the wicked and I almost, my feet were slipping. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're slipping today, it's because you need to get back to the house of God. Amen. Not a building, but into the presence of God and allow God to bring that healing again. Yeah. Ladies, we're almost out of time. I can't believe that we've already ran through this time. Closing thoughts, and we definitely want to pray over our wonderful state and the ladies that are listening today and the families that are going to be impacted. We want to lift that up. But any closing thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to share that we really want to shout out to the women of Martin County, St. Lucie County, Indian River County. We want, if there's any of you that would like to join us and need a little assistance or anything of that nature, they could reach out to us. Through our website, we have an email link there as well that goes directly to a main web page. And I wanted to also share that we are looking forward to the relationship building. We've been in this area for quite some time now, at least affiliated with Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and going to the dinners and the National Days of Prayer. We know a lot of you. We're excited about the relationship that the Lord is building here. Nancy mentioned that more of the women are coming from this region than even our own region. And we're noticing that the Lord is interconnecting us and interweaving all of these little ministries that have come together, started back with Miracle on the Water and Frank Marciano and Chaplain Dave and Deborah Thompson. They've opened their hearts and their arms to us, and we've just been running together. All of these ministries are running together, and we just appreciate the love. We thank you for the opportunity to speak here today, and also wanted to share that through Frank and Sunlight Ministries, South Florida Christian Leadership Network is having their second annual gathering. We will be there for that as well. And that is on September 19th this year. And we're just looking forward. We've taken the blueprint from here, from this region, and we've brought it into our region in Palm Beach County, Broward, and Miami-Dade, all of those counties. So Treasure Coast Christian Alliance has really led the way, and you've taught us a lot, and we're grateful, that you've adopted us in the Spirit to be able to continue doing all of these different ventures for the Lord. So thank you.
That's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting to see the family grow and to see what God is doing for sure. Absolutely for sure. Again, you can go to the website, give that website one more time, and let's get that information out. There also is a phone number, I believe, or no? No phone number. Facebook?
Yeah, I can give them my phone number. My name is Nancy, and my phone number is 561-721-5874.
So if you're a lady, you want to talk, you would just like to find out a little more about it. I'm sure someone is thinking, well, what does this cost? I don't know, you know, if I could afford it. So please go on the Facebook, go on the webpage, check that out. And what would you say about that just as we're closing as far as cost? What is the cost for the weekend?
It's $175.
That's very modest.
All three days. It includes the meals. It includes the bedding. It includes just all the thing you got to do is bring a change of clothes or two, toothbrush, and run with us.
Wow, that's awesome.